Well, the Golden State Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Throughout the summer, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion. I'm Tim Roy, and you can go to warriors.com for the full schedule. Let's go back to the 2015-2016 season, and to help us go back in time a little bit is Ron Krawczyk of the San Francisco Chronicle. First of all, Ron, I hope that you and yours are healthy and surviving the best way you can in what is a very, you know, odd time.
Unusual year, yes. Doing well. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Warriors would win this game, but they went in a little bit shorthanded. They're playing the Denver Nuggets on January 2nd. And Golden State came in with a record of 30-2. That's right, 30-2.
That's good, right?
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I remember that year at the end of games, I would just say, you know, they're 30-2. It's like that because this is the Warriors we're talking about. They had just won a title, and it's crazy. But that night, no Harrison Barnes, no Festus Ezeli, Leandro Barbosa, Kevon Looney, James Michael McAdoo, Brandon Rush, all out with injuries. And then Steph Curry leaves after playing only 14 minutes with a left shin injury. But, Ron, this was a night that Draymond Green, you know, rose to the occasion and reminded us just how special a guy he is.
Yeah, he's such a unique player, and I don't know that he's been fully appreciated during this run, you know, because of Steph and Clay and then Kevin Durant later. But, you know, I went back and looked at this game today before we talked, and 29 points, 17 rebounds, 14 assists, 5-for-9 on threes. I mean, you expect him to impact the game defensively and with his passing, but when he shoots like that, man, that's a whole nother realm and a weapon that, you know, helped lift the Warriors toward this historic run.
You know, back-to-back triple-doubles for Draymond. He had triple-double the previous game. The first time it ever happened in Warriors history, though, I always put the caveat in, if stats had been fleshed out during the era of Wilt Chamberlain, we wouldn't be talking like this. But be that as it may, it was the first time since 07-08 anybody had done that. And the two guys that did it in that year were LeBron James and Bay Area treasure Jason Kidd. Draymond at Michigan State, obviously, they were good. Obviously, they get to the Final Fours. Did you have any memories of him as a college player?
Not much. I know I went back and watched some stuff, you know, when he got drafted, and in retrospect, as he became good with the Warriors. And I just remember seeing the first thing I remember noticing was how pudgy he was. Right, his body was completely different, you know, by the time the Warriors took off on this run than it was when he was at Michigan State. But, you know, it makes sense that he went to Michigan State. You think about the way he plays, the toughness, the fundamentals. I mean, Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches, I think, in college basketball. And you look at Draymond's background and coming where he came from, and he's, you know, turned himself into a star in the NBA. And some of that, no doubt, traces to his time in Saginaw and then his time at Michigan State in that program, which is very much a team first program. You don't see too many high volume shooters coming out of Michigan State. So it kind of makes sense in retrospect.
Well, in this game, the Warriors were leading 37-13 after one, but Denver, coached by Michael Malone, hung in there. Jameer Nelson had a good first half. The former St. Joe's guard had 14 in the first half. He would finish with 20. Danilo Gallinari had a good game, shot 9 of 18 from the field, 24 points with 6 boards. And off the bench, he always seems to play well against the Warriors. Will Barton had 21 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assist in this one, and the Warriors with a big lead, but eventually it would go to overtime, and Ian Clark played 37 minutes in this game because of all the injuries they had, and Ian Clark, Mo Spates made a couple of big plays in OT, and they come away with a win. The question I would have for you, Ron, is about the Warriors and coming off a championship season. You've covered all kinds of sports, and you've covered all kinds of champions, especially I know that you specialize in golf. Do you see an inner confidence, whether it be teams or, say, in golf, a guy that wins a major? Does he come back with a confidence that maybe allows him or her to succeed, you know, in a tough situation or when the chips are down?
Absolutely. I think I saw it covering the Oakland A's in the early 90s, you know, when they had that run from 88 to 92. And I certainly saw it in Tiger Woods, you know, covering golf. I think when you've been through sort of that cauldron and produced under pressure, you can summon that when you need it again. And I think that's very much what happened with the Warriors. I think most people in the organization probably would, and certainly most media who've covered them would probably acknowledge that 2015, that title, you know, happened maybe a little sooner than they expected. But what it did was instill this confidence. And some of that, I think, comes from traces to Draymond, right? And the way he carries himself. But I think that definitely carried over from 2015 into 2016. I mean, it's easy to forget that in 2016, that's pre-Kevin Durant. You know, they win 73 games without that other superstar, you know, and it was Draymond and Clay and Steph and Harrison Barnes and Bogut and Iguodala and playing that sort of team basketball and ball movement and player movement, you know, all that. I think it wasn't proven or established that it could work the way it did in 2015. But once it did work, I don't think there's any question that gave that crew a new level of confidence the following season.
You know, you talk about the Draymond factor. He does have that quality, doesn't he? He has that quality that, you know, there are certain nights he's just not going to let you lose.
Well, and he can back it up because he does so many different things, and he's so smart. He sees the game a step ahead. You know, when I went back and looked at that at this Nuggets game you're talking about, there was a play in the fourth quarter where he had the ball on the low block, and you know, Clay kind of back cut and was open for just a split second, and Draymond hit him at the exact right moment. You know, and those are the kind of plays under pressure. You're not just flinging up a three, and you didn't have Steph that game to fling up threes in the second half. You know, when you can get a layup off a cut like that, that's the kind of play you need. And to have kind of that coach-like figure on the floor is definitely an underrated element of the Warriors' success in those 5 years.
Andrew Bogut fouled out in the fourth quarter of this game, the Warriors winning 111 to 108 in overtime against Denver. And like I said, Steve Kerr had to go deep, it would be at this point of the season. That was Mr. Walton was at the controls.
Right.
And he had to go even to Jason Thompson, a very little used forward who played a long time in Sacramento. He came off the bench and gave him 12 minutes and got 9 points and three boards. So it certainly was one of those nights where guys that were usually not called upon for big roles came through in a big way. You've been around the Bay Area a long time. In your wildest dreams of pre-2000, say 14, 13, did you ever think the Warriors would be, you know, at a point where, you know, they're held in the esteem of the Bill Walsh Niners and the Giants World Series teams and the great A's teams, you know, whether it be Billy Ball or the teams in the 70s, the Raiders? Did you ever think the Warriors would have a run like this?
How do I say this delicately? No. I mean, I think I might have mentioned this to you, but I once did a long feature for the Chronicle in the early 2000s. I don't remember what year, but probably somewhere between 00 and 07 or 08, before the We Believe team. And the story was on the culture of losing. And it wasn't just about the Warriors, but the Warriors were kind of the hook for it, you know, because they were going through that stretch of, you know, they weren't even close to the playoffs for, you know, almost 18 years, right?
Right.
And so to answer your question, it's a backwards way of saying no. I mean, they were the complete polar opposite, you know, and to evolve into what they have, you know, which, I mean, we've written about it and you've talked about it, but going back to drafting Steph in 09 and the ownership change in 10 and drafting Draymond and Harrison Barnes and Clay and the trade for Bogut. I mean, there were so many steps along the way, but they finally got the steps right and built this team. And then, you know, and then making a, you know, kind of a bold move, getting rid of Mark Jackson and bringing in Steve Kerr, which obviously worked out beyond anyone's expectations. So it really is a dramatic transformation, one of the most dramatic transformations in NBA history, to see what they were and what they've become. But it makes, in many ways, it makes the 5 year run and what they became even a better story, right? To know, if you've been in the Bay Area a long time, as I have, as you have, you understand the the arc of the journey and how that makes it even more remarkable to be where they were and then to arrive as they have now.
And Ron, to further punctuate your point, the 5-year run was for the Warriors getting to the final, 67-73 wins as they were in this season, 15-16, followed by 67 wins, 58-57. Now, right about the time you were writing that article, the Warriors had another 5-year run, but it's one they'd like to forget. 19 wins, 21 wins, 19 wins, 17-21.
And, yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, you hear those numbers.
And yeah,
it makes you just shake your head.
It's unbelievable. And I guess as we wrap up the conversation on this game against the Denver Nuggets back on January 2nd, 2016, the Warriors, very undermanned, end up beating a very determined Denver squad in overtime, 111-108. Ian Clark gets a bucket in OT that gives the Warriors the lead they would not give up. Mo Spates was good in overtime. The Warriors were 16-0 at home at this start. The best start for the Warriors. They had won 34 straight home games and 31-2 overall. Again, this was played over at Oracle Arena. So, Ron, give me your thoughts as we wrap this up on Oracle. And even when the times weren't good, it was still a pretty good place to watch a basketball game.
Well, I think it speaks to how passionate Bay Area basketball fans are. I mean, they obviously love the Warriors. That's been proven and established. But all those lean years, it wasn't the Warriors. It was the fact that they were just into basketball and into the NBA style of basketball. And that takes a, you know, a special connection and a, you know, and to sustain it the way they did is remarkable. I mean, I'm a big sports fan. I played basketball in high school, but you know, there were many years I couldn't watch the NBA because it was so much one-on-one. And you know, when the local team's terrible and the style's not that appealing, you know, for that many fans to still be into it the way they were is really, really staggering. And, you know, Steve Kerr and any number of visiting players will tell you, as bad as the Warriors were, it was always loud. It was always vibrant. It was always a really cool place to play a game. And they finally got rewarded.
The Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. And throughout the summer, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion. Ron Krojcik of the San Francisco Chronicle, thank you so much for helping us out.
No worries, Tim.
I'm Tim Roy. You can go to warriors.com for the full schedule.